Welcome to this service from the Western Heights United Church. I'm Bruce Waldron, the minister looking after this place in the absence of a full-time minister, and we're in the process of looking for one, and we hope we find one soon. We acknowledge with gratefulness to God the land. We acknowledge the Wadawurrung, the caretakers, the guardians, and we pay our respect to their elders, past, present, and emerging. May the light of Christ be with you. May it guide your feet. May it guide your understanding. May it give you insight. May the light of Christ be with you as you travel through this week. The peace of the Lord be with you. I'm going to light a candle, a symbol that Christ, the light of the world, is with us. We, along with St. Luke's, have been looking at the book God and the Pandemic, written by Tom Wright, a Christian exploration of how we respond in situations where things have gone quite awry. And last week, we looked at the Old Testament, and we looked at the way the people of the Old Testament lamented when things went wrong, and how the Psalms are a way of saying to us, look, it's all right to bring a lament to God. It's okay to say that things are not the way they ought to be. But the Old Testament does more than that. It shows us how people have an orientation of how things ought to be. And inevitably, those orientations get challenged when things don't work out the way that logically you would think they would with your understanding of yourself and God. And how that leads to a disorientation. And then out of that disorientation comes a reorientation, a new understanding, a deeper understanding, a better one. Now, God is taking us through these processes all the time, as in the course of life, we reach out towards God. Some of our thinking today is going to be specifically focused around Jesus, the Gospels, and what light Jesus sheds on our understanding of how we deal with it when the old systems, the old ways, just aren't working properly anymore. Before we do that, we're going to focus in on some words that Jesus gave to us that we say pretty often in the Christian church, almost every church service, somewhere along the line, we say these words, and they have some profound significance for who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. Those words are in a prayer. And I'd like to share with you that prayer now as we begin this time of sitting and reflecting together with whoever's watching this and reflecting together with God, who is always watching us. So you might like to share with me now in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Peace of the Lord be with you.
Come, now is the time to worship. is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give. Just as you are to worship, come, just as you were before your God, come. One day every tongue will confess you are God, one day every knee will bow, still the greatest treasure.
Jesus prayed in the morning and he prayed at night. Jesus prayed for his friends and Jesus prayed for his enemies. Jesus prayed for the children and for the mums and the dads and the grandmas and the grandpas. One day, Jesus' friends asked him, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And this is the prayer that Jesus taught them. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. I wonder what you liked best about this prayer. I wonder what you thought was the most important part of this prayer. I wonder where you are in this prayer. I wonder if this prayer has been close to you during some difficult times in your life. And I wonder if this prayer has been close to you in happy times in your life. I wonder.
Reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 13. This reading forms part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where he talks about prayer. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours forever. Amen.
About 9 years ago, I decided to do something interesting. I'd been in England for 7 years, and I'd turned 60. And I thought, what can I do to celebrate my 60th birthday? I didn't want to just have a party and eat too much cake and then have to dry out for a week or so until my cholesterol levels came back to normal. And I thought, I know what I'll do. I love cycling. I'll cycle from the two furthest points in Britain, in England, on the mainland. I'll cycle from Land's End to John O'Groats, and I worked out a map where I could do this, following on old towpaths and laneways and cycle tracks and old railway lines from one end to the other. It was 1,013 miles, probably about 1,600 and something kilometres, if you look at it, and I did it in 2 weeks. I got all my maps from the library, because I didn't want to have to buy them all, and I worked it out on Ordnance Survey maps, how I could get from one point to another. And I ran into trouble in the Midlands. And here's how I ran into trouble. I was using two maps for the same city. And what I didn't notice was that one map was drawn up around about 1990, And the other map was drawn up around about 2004. One map didn't have an awful lot of things in it that had happened over the last 15 years. And so I was writing on one map, and when I got to the other map, it looked like there were two bridges that I had to cross before I turned off. Actually, they were the same bridge, but they looked quite different because an awful lot had changed around them. And I got hopelessly lost in the middle of that huge industrial wasteland that we call the Midlands in the United Kingdom, because I was using an old map that was outdated and a map that was new and up to date. I think a lot of the time we try to chart our course using maps that are outdated. And because of that, we get disorientated. We were talking last week about disorientation. I think a lot of the time we're trying to find our way from things that are drawn out of the past, when things were quite different, when the sociology around us was different, when people's ways of thinking were different, when the place of the church in the community was different. We draw our maps out of ideas that we drew up about God out of the circumstances of our life when we thought differently because we were less mature and didn't have the experience of life behind us. Now, the question is, in the middle of this coronavirus, what is God doing? And what Tom Wright suggests to us is that if we try to extrapolate out of the circumstances of the things around us who God is and what God is like, we're going to be always using maps that are outdated. And we're putting the cart before the horse, because our understanding of what God is doing, or should be doing, or will be doing, should be drawn from Christ, who is the constant of God, rather than the circumstances of our lives that are always changing, always in flux. Tom Wright writes, "If you want to know what it means to talk about sovereignty and God being in control, that Jesus asks you to rethink your notions about kingdom, about control, and about sovereignty. We ask what God's doing. That means that we have some kind of a mind image that God is in control and God's sovereign. Jesus asks us to rethink what those terms mean. Look at the way he deals with people. He comes up to the Roman centurion who comes to him and says, my servant's dying. Jesus doesn't say to him, what are you doing working for that rotten army, those Roman armies, that brutal regime? What are you doing as a military leader in that? He meets the man where he is with the concern and the anxiety he has. And he loves him. And he loves the servant that he brings to him. He brings the nowness of God to that moment. When he meets up with Zacchaeus, he doesn't sit there and say to him, Zacchaeus, how did you become a tax collector? How did you become this reviled person that everybody hates? He said to him, Zacchaeus, I'm going to come and have a meal with you. What we find in Jesus is not a person who's dwelling in the past, but meeting the present with the kingdom of God, the love, the compassion, the grace of Christ. How do I express grace and love now? So interesting, I was in a meeting this morning with a bunch of other ministers from around the presbytery. And we were talking about the difficulties that we have sometimes with being stuck in models that used to work in the church and trying to work with them in a world that is so utterly different at this moment. And how do we work with it when really we want things to go back to the way they were, and they may never? How do we be God's people in this now? If we're sitting there always looking at an old map and saying, oh, that's the way it used to be, then we can't be the presence of God to now. Think about that Lord's Prayer that we prayed a little while ago. Give us today our daily bread. Now is the kingdom. Now is the moment when the love and the grace of Christ is already pouring out upon our world. How do we express that? How can we bless people with the love, the grace, the forgiveness, the renewal that Christ brings? One of the ministers in that meeting that we had this morning suggested, I think it was one of the ministers, she said, we ought to be cartographers for Christ, drawing new maps to meet the moment with the now of give us this day our daily bread. Christ loves you exactly where you are. God's mercy and grace is around you exactly where you are. And in exactly the position you're in now, how can you express that? How can you pour that back out? How can you be the image of God, which we are made to be in this moment? I came across a quote the other day, and it ran something like this. I am convinced that if the circumstances, the difficulties, and the problems of the current world were met with an utter commitment to the words in the Sermon on the Mount, then we would be able to solve them. And the man who said that was a former president of the United States called Harry Truman. I think he's right. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, you probably pray it quite often. Think about that. Because the Lord's Prayer sits right in the middle of it. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Don't lead us into temptation. You are made in the image of God. And Christ is the touchstone that shows you how you need to be drawing up maps by which you find your way in this world now. May the light of Christ lead you as you do that. As we come to the close of our worship today, we're going to listen again to the song, Come Now Is the Time to Worship. And the reason for that is, of course, that St. Paul wrote, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable worship. So worship doesn't cease at the end of this video. It begins at the end of this video again, because our life is worship. We often say at the end of a service, the peace of the Lord be with you, or something to that effect. So I want to do that here now, but I want to preface it with something that St. Francis wrote, and it goes like this. As you announce peace with your mouth, make sure that same peace is in your heart. For we have been called to heal wounds, to bind up the broken, and to call home those who have lost their way. The peace of the Lord be with you. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Now is the time to worship.
Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before. Confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you were before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. Treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship.